All right. I'm interviewing Ella.
Okay.
Because Ella's had big things happen recently.
It's true.
True. What big thing have you had happen recently?
I graduated.
You graduated?
Oh, wow.
Very nice. Yeah, you graduated.
Mm-hmm.
And you've been working on things this year.
I have.
Yeah, tell the microphone.
I've been recording some music in the studio, and I'm hoping to record an album, and I also am planning to publish my book this summer.
Yeah, so you're an underachiever.
Yeah,
underachiever. Well, we are so thrilled that we've been able to watch you grow up. I think you came when you were like 11, maybe 10? At the first time when you came for...
Well, came, probably about 10 when we first came.
10, when they first came to dinner.
And then
maybe like 12. COVID, 2020, COVID, so 6 years ago.
Yeah.
So you were 12.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So I was pretty close.
Yeah.
So your book, what is it? Is it a fictional novel? Is it... mechanics? Is it? You know?
It's both. No, it's fictional.
Oh, awesome. We'll be looking for that. And you have some pretty cool things this summer that God worked out for you. Where are you working?
I'm working at two places. I'm working at Thomas Memorial Library. So that's fun because I love books. And then I'm working at Avita, which is like a nursing home.
How many books have you read since, let's just guess, since January?
So far I've read 13, but I'm in the middle of reading one.
Yeah, and I'm waiting for the movie to come out.
They're making a ton of those now.
A ton of those.
Yeah.
So we have a card for you that we want to give you to help you celebrate.
Thank you.
And your mom might say you have to spend this on something responsible.
Right.
That's not what we say.
Okay, cool.
We say we want you to celebrate, go to a concert, do something fun, and we wanna pray for you. I don't think our other two grads made it this morning. So we're gonna pray for you. Okay?
Okay.
All right, Lord, we thank you so much for Ella. We thank you that she has shared her talents, her gifts with us all along. We thank you that for the way you brought healing into her life and the way you restored it as we walked together and prayed together. Lord, we just thank you for the awesome young woman that she is. We pray that you would bless her steps as she walks into the future, that she would walk closely with you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you're welcome. This morning, I want to talk to you about invisible people. And this is right up Ella's alley. Because there, this morning, there are invisible people all around us. You see any of them?
They're
invisible. Good point. That's why you graduated.
Right.
Yeah, because you know that. You know that. But the invisible people that I want to talk about or talk to us, with us, discover together. I want to make this taller. Can do it without Tom, I think. Usually need Tom to give me any type of assistance. I did it, Tom. You proud? So this morning, we're going to talk about seeing people, breaking through our assumptions that we oftentimes have with people. And I want to try something with you now. I want to try something. And there are people in this park right now, people sitting nearby, people walking past, people at the playground, people arm wrestling. And they have nothing to do with our service here this morning, but they're here. And in your head, I want you to look, as your eyes look around, I want you, without saying it out loud, answer this question. Who is that person? Not their name, not their story. I mean the mental shorthand that you used. The mental shorthand that you used. It's the filing system that your brain automatically ran in the first 3 seconds of seeing them. You know how we do that? We see somebody and our brain immediately starts to categorize people. We'll think, wow, young, old. A lot of times people see me, they're like, handsome, works out.
Six pack.
Not joking about that. But our brains do this thing. We'll look and we'll say, oh, that's probably somebody who does CrossFit. If I talk to them more than 30 seconds, I'll find out if that's true. Find out if that's true. That person looks like trouble. I'm going to avoid that person. Or, hey, that person really looks put together. Or, that person looks like my aunt. Our brains are these filing systems that immediately put people into categories within the first 3 seconds. The brain is a pattern matching machine. It's an incredible thing. And we already sort people out within 3 to 5 seconds. We file them, we give them a category, and we determine almost unconsciously what kind of interaction we're going to have with them, if any. But here's the problem. Most of the time, those files are wrong. Most of the time, those files have problems. At a minimum, they're incomplete. They're incomplete. And so these incomplete files, we're making relational decisions about them based on our quick decisions and categorizations, right? And so today, I want us to talk about seeing people, really seeing them, like Jesus did. It turns out it's harder than it sounds. And we're going to be in, today, we're going to be in John 4, 1 through 26. It's the longest recorded conversation that Jesus has with an individual that's recorded in the scriptures. Here's the scene. Jesus is traveling through Samaria. And remember what we said about Samaritans and Samaria? Jews don't go through there. They actually will take the time to take the long route to go around Samaria to make sure they don't even walk on that soil. Jesus doesn't care. Jesus is traveling through Samaria. He sits at a well alone. The story tells us that the disciples went to get food, went to round up some food. And it's at about noon. And a woman comes to the well to draw water. Now, there are some things we need to recognize or realize about this story. Water, getting water for the day, happens in the morning. And it is a task that the women did in society, where they would all go to the well first thing in the morning and fill up their jugs for the day's needs. So here's this woman. She's there at noon coming. The detail is important. John wants us to know that this woman is purposely avoiding people. She's purposely avoiding people. She doesn't want to be there with people. John 4, 7 through 10, reading from the New Living Translation. Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Please give me a drink." He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised. For Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, "You are a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" Jesus replied, "If you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water." See, her response immediately has put Jesus in a category, just like we do, in those 3-5 seconds. Her response shows the category. She says, "You're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan woman." She's not being rude. She's just being real. She's being real. These groups don't talk to each other. The lines don't get crossed. Everyone knows the rules. But Jesus ignored the rules. He knows the categories. He knows you don't go through Samaria. He knows you don't talk to Samaritans. He just decides that those rules don't determine his behavior. He sees the person, not the category. He sees the person, not the file. So that's my first point. We saw it a few weeks ago. Jesus crosses cultural barriers. He crosses gender barriers. And he crosses moral barriers. So let's count the rules that Jesus breaks in this single encounter. Rule number one that he breaks: Jewish men don't speak to Samaritans. There are 700 years of this cultural rule being enforced. 700 years, generations of these groups not interacting. Rule number two: Jewish teachers don't speak publicly to women who are not their wives or family members. That's another rule he breaks. It was considered undignified and potentially even scandalous if somebody saw it going on. And then rule number three: as the conversation develops, Jesus discovers this woman has been married 5 times. She's currently shacking up with a guy she's not married to. And in the first century Jewish culture, that person is a person that most religious leaders would avoid at all costs. At all costs. See, Jesus breaks all three of these rules without even appearing to notice them. And we have to ask why. Why does he do that? Remember when Jesus said, when the person said, "Hey, tell me which is the greatest commandment out of all these?" And he said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. And the second is like it: love your neighbor as yourself." None of these cultural rules mattered. The first rule was love. This woman has value. I don't care how she's lived her life. I don't care her situation right now. I don't care what category you put her in. I don't care any of that. The first rule is that we love our neighbors. And this woman is that neighbor. So what's his first move? What's Jesus' first move? He probably pulled out a tract of the 4 spiritual laws, right? Gave her one of those cheesy black and white comic book things that only has color when it's the red blood that the person is like, going to burn. Right? He probably did that. No, he didn't do that. He didn't give her a lecture. He didn't give her information. He didn't do that. Although, what did he first do? Anybody know? What did he first do? He asked for a drink. He asked for help. "I need your help. I value you." And you know, I like the fact that the woman draws him a drink and he drinks it. And most historians say he used her dipper. I just rubbed a donut on the ground and you guys freaked out. Because I hate it. Jesus is asking this stranger for a drink who is a Samaritan woman. She draws him water Most historians say he drank from her dipper. That's why my blog is titled Drinking from the Same Dipper. I'm like, you know, the people that we value, he asks her to do something for him, and he creates that moment of human need together that says, I need, and you can help me. The second thing that he does is he recognizes that many people, most even, feel unseen or stereotyped, at least. The woman at the well had been sorted into categories her entire life, so much so that she wouldn't even go to the well when all the other women were there, sharing stories, laughing, talking together. She knew she wasn't welcome in that group because of her categories. And yet, those labels she was carrying, Samaritan, female, morally compromised. You know how many people I'll talk to about coming and invite them to come in, come to church, and they'll say this, oh no, I can't go there. The walls would cave in if I walked into that building. That's what this woman and her labels and her categories feels like. But Jesus says, get rid of that. That isn't what I am about. I don't care if there are other churches that pretend they are, you know, holier than thou. I don't care that there are Christians who, they minimize people, they put them down and all that. There are so many people who miss this Jesus. And many of them go to church. And they miss this Jesus who will ask a Samaritan woman, talk to her, and ask her for a drink and drink from her dipper. So her labels determined how people treated her, and that's why she gave up on the group. She is absolutely shocked that Jesus talks to her. She is absolutely shocked that Jesus asks her for something. And then can you imagine her as she draws the water, hands it to him, and he goes, he didn't even take out his handkerchief.
Does anybody have a lemon antibacterial wipe? I need those. I always have those with me.
He didn't do any of that. He just grabbed that and said, thank you. She is blown away by it. And so much so that she feels free enough to ask a question. And she says, our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews say that Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship. She's got questions that she's never been given space to ask. And she feels safe enough to have a conversation with this man now. She's gone from being guarded to now feeling like this is okay. He values me. He doesn't treat me as though I'm lower, even though everybody else does. See, people that I call the invisible people around us, they've been sorted. And some of us here today, we've been sorted by our financial situation. We've been sorted by our past. Maybe we've been sorted by the neighborhood or the area we grew up in. We've been sorted by the assumptions of the people around them. Some of us grew up even in harsh homes where we had parents who might always focus on what we did wrong. Some of us have been sorted our whole lives, and when I get to that point that we actually start to believe the category. We believe that category that there's nothing I can do right. I've told you my dad was a recovering alcoholic, and thankfully he stopped drinking from the time I was probably about 7. He did have a few relapses. But as an alcoholic, I never heard him say, I'm proud of you. I always heard him say, why didn't you think of that? Why didn't you do it this way? I'd come home with a B and he'd say, why isn't it an A? And I grew up, and I shared this with you a few years ago when I went through that period where I just needed to seek some help. And thankfully, God placed me with a therapist who helped me see all of those lies and categories I was believing and adopting as me, as being the person I am. I had every Sunday when I would leave, and I would focus on the things I missed. If something went wrong, say even a projector bulb blew or the sound system squeaked, I left going, why didn't you think of that? What's wrong with you? You should have planned better. That was the category I grew up in. And even at 60 years old, I was still carrying it. Still feeling that anxiety going in, going, you're a screw up, so what's it matter? How are you going to screw up today? Thankfully, God showed me the truth. God showed me the truth and said, I don't put you in that category. I don't put you in that category at all. I value you. You know that it's like singing, right? As the scripture tells us with singing, that it's God just loves to hear that no matter how well we do. But our whole society has us being like these perfectionists. And we say, I can't sing. You can sing. Everybody around you will tell you it's terrible. And Biff, I'm not just talking about you. Everybody around you will... See, I have to give it back to Biff now and then.
I can take it.
We live with those things, and God says, no, I love to hear you sing. I love your heart. I love you. I created you. And that's why I want to sit at the well with you. We've been sorted. The third point that I see in this story is that curiosity opens the doors that judgment slams shut. You know what I mean? Curiosity. Jesus asks questions. You ever notice that? He asks a lot of questions from people. And in this story, he's not in a hurry to get done or go anywhere. Remember last week? We talked about you can't love people at 40 miles per hour. If you missed it, go on our YouTube page and listen in. He asks, will you give me a drink? He asks, what's going on with your husband? He asks, what do you think about worship? He's curious, and his curiosity creates a container in which this woman feels safe enough to be herself. He creates space for this conversation to happen. Contrast that with judgment. Think about judgment for a moment. Judgment delivers a verdict, and it delivers it quickly. Judgment says, I already know what you are. I already know what you've done. I know, and I know what I think about it. Judgment closes the conversation before it starts. Jesus told her her story. But he told her without judgment. He told her in such a way that she knew that she was still safe. Curiosity says, I don't know your whole story. Tell me more. I'm interested in you as a specific, particular person. We don't ask questions in a nosy way. Our assumptions, some of them come from experience. It's tough. We've experienced something in a relationship with a certain type of person, and when we meet another who seems to fit that file, we have those things come with us immediately, even if they don't deserve those things. It's human. It's human. Some of our judgments come from media. We determine that person is not a person I want to talk to just because of the sign they put on their lawn. Because of what they posted on Facebook, maybe. And some of our judgments come from our communities. Did you hear? And those things go around, and we make these determinations, these judgments based on gossip. Gossip. And some of us come from a place of church hurt. And some have said, I don't want anything to do with the church again, because I went and I got hurt badly. I didn't meet their standard. And boy, did they treat me like a Samaritan. Boy, did they treat me terribly. And say, I'm never going to be involved in a church again. You know what we're doing? We're judging Jesus based on people who claim to be his followers, when we should be judging the followers on the teachings of Jesus. So look at the result in John 4. And I want to point out, this wasn't the planned result. Love your neighbor, no strings attached. Jesus was just loving this woman for who she was. In John 4, 25 to 26, the woman said, I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. When he comes, he will answer everything to us. Then Jesus told her, I am the Messiah. Now that's one right there when people say Jesus never claimed to be anything but a man. Yeah, highlight that, mark that. He was very clear a number of times. And then 28 through 30, the woman left her water jar beside the well and ran back to the village telling everyone, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah? So the people came streaming from the village to see him. What I love about this story, this woman becomes the first evangelist in John's gospel. There's been a lot in the news lately about a denomination that decided women can't speak and women can't teach and women can't do this and women can't do that. That's not here, okay? That's not here, all right? That comes from a scripture, or a part of scripture, where the women were having a dust up and Paul gave instructions to say, this is how it should happen in that situation. But there are so many examples through scripture. Who was the first to see the risen Christ? And when they saw the risen Christ, Jesus didn't say, okay, yep, it's me. Go get Peter and bring him back so I can tell him I've risen so he can tell everybody. Nope, didn't do that. She was the first one. So the woman goes back, and everyone in her village had categorized her, right? But they came and they were changed. So my challenge this week, we've had a challenge every week in our neighboring, how to neighbor. My challenge is that we would see people. I was pulling into a doctor's appointment last week, and as I'm pulling in and in the parking garage, there's a man who's walking to his car, and he's got a little cane thing, and he's walking like this. I'm about 5 minutes late already. And I'm thinking, I'm 5 minutes late already. And I go over to him and I said, sir, could I give you a hand? And he said, oh, thank you so much. And he took hold of my arm and we walked to his car, which he didn't park right next to the. I'm like thinking, did the doctor do this to you? Because you parked way over there. And we walked. And was I thinking, oh my gosh, I'm going to be late. And are they going to say, you're 9 minutes late, so we've rescheduled your appointment and billed you, you know, which they do. And you're like, I've waited for you 45 minutes, an hour, a bunch of times. Yeah. So I walk him all the way to his car. And he says, oh, thank you so much. I was scared. I was going to fall over. And I said, I thought so too. I thought so too. To see the invisible people, to see the people we don't have time for, I want to challenge you in the coming week to just pray each day, Lord, help me see someone invisible today. Help me to recognize my categories are oftentimes wrong. And help me to ask those questions like you have. No strings attached, just to show our neighbors love. Let's close in a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, you sat down at a well in the middle of the day, and you treated an overlooked woman like she was worth your time, because you showed us that she was. I pray you help us to see the people around us the way you see them, not through our files or our categories, but as people you know by name and love completely. Lord, I pray you give us curiosity instead of judgment. Give us questions instead of verdicts. And let that change what's possible between us and our neighbors. Lord Jesus, help us be more like you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week.